Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hey, Hayden, how you doing?
Prime Minister, happy May the 4th.
And to you too, my friend. I've actually told the kids they better be binging Star Wars.
Amazing. And so what's your plan?
I'm working. I'm actually packing up my stuff because I got to hit the road soon. But listen, May the 4th be with you.
And with you.
My team is very happy with themselves. I had not seen that cold open till just then. I mean, they have so wrecked Star Wars to now even have Justin Trudeau involved in it. It was May the 4th on Saturday. We did not celebrate it because Disney has destroyed Star Wars. Trudeau has destroyed Star Wars. Oh, just awful. Anyway, we got a show for you. I'm feeling good about today. And I am actually feeling quite good about the state of the world. It's a little screwy, but we're going to show you some of the pushback that has been developing. It is May 6, 2024. This is the Rubin Report. I'm Dave Rubin. We're live streaming on Rumble, YouTube, and Locals. Post-game show, rubinreport.locals.com. And we're going to start today with the red-pilling of Jerry Seinfeld. Because Jerry Seinfeld, who, as you guys know, he was the comedian who did a show about nothing. The man who is probably the most successful stand-up comic of all time, who really never made a single declarative statement on anything political or cultural. It was always just these little weird quirky things about life. That was the appeal of him. That was the whole point of the show and everything else. He suddenly, apparently since October 7th, has been waking up, and he was on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast, and they were talking about Trump, and they were talking about a little bit what's going on here as it relates to the melting down of the college student mind and everything else, and he seems to be getting there. We'll contrast that with another celebrity who is not getting there. That's Robert De Niro, who has completely lost his mind. And then we'll connect that to everything that's going on these college campuses, because while we are still seeing the occupation, the illegal occupation of these college campuses and the mass violence and the destruction of these buildings and all of the stuff that they are doing and stopping certain students from walking onto campus and calling for genocide and everything else and the administrators and the teachers who are allowing it, we are also seeing a pushback. The frat dudes who we showed you last week, we're seeing a pushback from regular students. Enough people, if you push people far enough, then even people, and this is the point, then even people like Jerry Seinfeld, a guy who's got to be worth a couple hundred mil, who's never really been involved in politics, eventually they start waking up too. And then, of course, as you know, the question always is, can you get them to vote the right way? And then we'll connect that to some of the stuff that's happening across the pond, because there were elections in the UK that I think could be a bellwether for where our elections could head up if we don't start waking up to some of this stuff. So let's just get to it. Here is Jerry Seinfeld on Bill Maher's podcast. I don't think Jerry smokes, or he doesn't smoke weed for sure. And I don't think he was drinking. Looked like he was just having a coffee. But here they are talking about how they will be if Donald Trump was to win this next election.
Better or worse, the way we value life today, or the way we were more so much more casual about it in years past?
I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, you know, back then, please, we are so seduced by, and I am as much as anyone, by creature comforts and convenience.
Yes.
No, I don't. With all the bull going on, we live in the most amazing times.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the climate change is probably going to get us at some point, but it hasn't yet.
Right.
We walked out here today. We weren't like evaporated by the rays of the sun or something. I mean, it was a beautiful day.
Yep.
The grass is green. The sky is blue. I know it's really not. There's lots of things going on behind the scenes that are horrible, blah, blah, blah. But we're still living in that time where we're basically, you know, yes, health certainly can rear its ugly head, and there's lots of poisons everywhere and lots of terrible things, and Trump could do this and democracy and blah, 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 nuclear war. But for the moment, you know, when I'm sitting at a dinner with people and they're like, oh, the world's ending. I'm like, look around you, you f***ing dumbass. We're at this f***ing awesome restaurant. They're bringing you this food. It's probably going to, this dinner's going to cost $700. You're not even going to f***ing blink at paying the check. Shut the f***. About how terrible things is. When they're going to, I'm not going to lose my nervous system about Trump again. If he ends the world, he's going to end the world. I'm not going to f-ing go nuts again if he wins another term. I just can't.
I hope you have that wherewithal.
Well, what are you going to do?
Just, I don't know. I'm trying to stay right there.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay right there.
Get anxious like a millennial? No.
Yeah, it's right. Still, exactly. Know. That is,
I mean, that generation, especially the Z generation.
Ugh.
Now, you might be watching that clip going, Dave, wait. I thought you prefaced that by saying that's mostly Seinfeld being red-pilled. And somehow it was Bill Maher doing all the talking. But the point was the end right there. You can see Jerry's going as far as he can go. We know that it happens in steps with people. Jerry's nodding and basically agreeing, I'm not going to lose my head if Trump becomes president. And even for Maher to say that now, Maher, who has had major TDS, right, has done everything possible to make sure that Donald Trump would not get in the first time and won't get in this time. For him to basically be like, I'm not going to go crazy if it happens. And then Jerry to agree, this is a good sign. You just got to remember, people need a certain runway to hopefully get to red pill country, right? Like that's the idea. And of course, the other thing is that they are right. Like despite all of, well, Bill's wrong on the climate stuff. Like I know libs are just always worried about climate. Climate's not coming to get you. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about that. But things are, if we would just have some decent political leadership, then things would be pretty good. Like we can fix the border. We can fix what's going on in the Middle East. We can fix what's going on in our cities and everything else. In the history of humanity, the position that we're even in right now, as screwy as everything is, and it does feel like, and I do sense that we are on the precipice of just really tilting off the wrong way. But in the history of humanity, like there is sectarian warfare, there are religious wars, there's genocides and everything else. Actually, today is National Holocaust Remembrance Day, right? Sort of relevant to everything going on in the world. So horrible things do happen, but we basically have things still pretty intact here. Now, I happen to think that a certain orange man can help fix them further, and that the dementia guy can't, and we got to convince some of these guys to get there. But I want to compare that, of course, with some other people from Hollywood who really don't get it and help the machine keep everyone in that perpetual state of fear. There was Bill Maher basically saying, calm down, right? Calm down. And Seinfeld, calm down, even if Orange Man gets back in. We'll juxtapose that with De Niro, who is not nearly as cool as any of the people that he plays in movies. But before we do, let me talk to you about Gravity Defier. Guys, let me share my recent discovery with you, G-Defy shoes, G-D-E-F-Y shoes. Let me tell you, they're simply amazing. No, they're beyond amazing. G-Defy is a footwear company on a mission to relieve knee, back, and foot pain. As many of you know, I've struggled with my knee from balling all these years, but the moment I slipped on my G-Defy shoes, the pain just vanished. How does G-Defy achieve this ultimate comfort? Firstly, every pair comes with free custom orthotics to align your body perfectly. Then there's this patented VersoShock trampoline technology in the heel, which absorbs harmful shocks and provides positive, renewed energy, empowering you to tackle your day. Additionally, G-Defy has integrated a strong structural system into their shoes that improves your posture and encourages you to walk using your calf and other major muscle groups. Don't just take my word for it. Read the countless customer reviews raving about the pain relief and amazing comfort they've experienced with G-Defy. I, for one, can't get enough of them, and I wholeheartedly recommend them to anyone looking for relief. Experience the comfort and pain relief for yourself. Visit GetaFi.com today and use code Reuben30 for $30 off $150 or more. And now back to me. Okay, so let's compare and contrast. Here we have two Hollywood liberals. That's what we just showed you. I would say largely old school liberals who are kind of coming around. And again, as I always say, it doesn't matter necessarily if they vote the right way, but having culturally relevant people acknowledge reality is good. It helps other people get there. But then, of course, there's a whole other set of people that keep everyone in perpetual fear. Robert De Niro seems to be the number one guy in Hollywood at doing this, and that's why they put him on MSNBC all the time and let him host these award shows and everything else, because he's just given the machine what it wants, as I always say about Stephen Colbert. Here he is on MSNBC, the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, and he can't even tell you one terrible thing that the Orange Man did, but he does bring up Hitler.
You have no upside in having this conversation. In speaking out against Donald Trump, you are making yourself a target. The interview will air and he will immediately find a reason to talk bad about you in public.
Yeah.
But you're choosing to use your platform to do so. What do you say to other celebrities who don't want to alienate part of their fan base, don't want to step in harm's way, but they have similar megaphones that you do?
You know, the idea to be bullied at my age by someone like this is not happening.
I'm pretty sure you were never bullied.
No, you know, as a kid, sometimes this, that, but the point is not, and for the country, no. And I think other people are gonna have to stand up and just, because it's either that or you're gonna find yourself in a situation that's so terrifying. We always hear about people from Eastern Europe, the Jews from other parts of Eastern Europe, from Western Europe, coming over. Look what happened with France, with the Nazis and so on. And they come over, and you hear these. And when I was a kid, they'd say, "You don't really appreciate this country. You don't really appreciate what we know from experience." Imagine what those people went through. I'm just starting to see it. You know, as a kid, I said Hitler, it's a nightmare that never would happen. But now I see that it's possible. And what those people, and sometimes I run into some people who are close to my age, who are from Eastern European countries or even Nazi Germany.
All right, I'll stop there for a second. We're going to get to the point where he brings up Hitler specifically in just a second. But it is his side, the Democrats, who are opening the borders, who have let 7 to 10 million people in these last 3 years, and we have no idea who they are. And we now know that some of them actually are at these college protests calling for genocide of those Jews. So stop using the Jews, you fuck. That's one part of this. The other part, yeah, he's such a tough guy. He's such a tough guy. And that interviewer, what an embarrassment. You're really putting it all on the line by saying something bad about Donald Trump. That's so edgy. We've never heard that on this channel before. I can't believe it. Anyway, you can see what they're doing. They need you to believe that if Donald Trump gets back in and he's able to do a little something as it pertains to the border or immigration or fix the economy or anything, that somehow that is the thing that will lead to fascism. Meanwhile, they have corporate collusion between the mainstream media and our judicial system that is putting this man on trial as he's trying to run for president. That actually has a little more to do with fascism than anything Donald Trump has done. Anywhere here he goes, continuing to imply that Trump is Hitler.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
What do you say to those who say, I don't like the guy, but I'm going to vote for him? What's your message to them?
I don't understand it. I don't think they understand how dangerous it will be if he ever, God forbid, becomes president. I don't think they really understand. And historically, from what I see, even in Nazi Germany, they had it with Hitler. They don't take him serious. He looks like a clown, acts like a clown. Mussolini, same thing. These guys, I don't know why, they look like clowns. They somehow, people, that element of society identifies in some ways with them, but it would be chaos beyond our imagination. There's no mystery about him. He's right out front. And what he says is what it'll be if he becomes president.
So interesting. That element of society, basically, that supports Trump. You do know that that's probably half, if not more than half of the country. Those people do go to movies. And largely, people are tuning out of these things because, well, you don't need to be lectured by Hollywood actors, right? Also, who is more dangerous? Who is more dangerous to the world? Let's go pre-COVID for just a second. So just go right back to, say, January of 2020, the first year and a half of the Trump situation, right? Things were going pretty well. He was 2 years into the presidency, if not more, actually. Things were going pretty damn well. And then COVID came in. So now we can just chalk that up to he got rolled over by the deep state and Fauci and everybody else. But we know that things were going well and we were getting the Abraham Accords and we were having a solid economy here and everything else. Now we have a man with dementia that's in charge. Everyone knows he has dementia. He is being run. This is obviously the Obama administration. He's being run by a bunch of jihadists in his staff, right? Like they're in the White House right now. And we all see what is happening and the border and everything else. So who is more dangerous, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Well, Elon Musk saw that clip. He wrote this, and I think this gets to the heart of it. He wrote, well, Trump was actually already president for 4 years, and his policies bore no resemblance to those of Hitler, so this makes no sense. In fact, with the Abraham Accords, he made some progress towards peace in the Middle East, which was definitely not high on Hitler's agenda. But we know, according to that quote-unquote journalist at MSNBC, Robert De Niro is very edgy. He's out there. He's doing the thing that nobody will do, say crazy things about Donald Trump. And I think maybe he's done it once or twice before.
He's a sociopathic, psychopathic, malignant narcissist.
I know what's right. And I think there are a lot of people who think they know what's right. I know what's right.
Narcissistic and self-centered. I just don't want to feel the way I did, and many of us don't, after the election in 2016. I should not be president, period. Idiot is taking our country into the dump.
A national disgrace.
And I apologize to Justin Trudeau.
Such a mean, nasty, hateful person. So
stupid.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
In the real world, he wouldn't last long. That's my feeling. Yeah. Real gangster world, he wouldn't last long.
The outside world, other than anything around him, he has no idea.
It's no longer down with Trump, it's Trump.
He knows everything he projects about negative things on individuals, on situations, on institutions, he's saying about himself.
He's a punk, he's a dog, he's a pig, he's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt.
That guy is edgy, okay? My God, he went to Hollywood and said F Trump to a bunch of Hollywood people and they applauded him. My God, give him another award. Also, what does that mean? In the real world, what was that line? In the real world, he wouldn't last. You do know, Bobby De Niro, that Donald Trump was a real estate mogul for decades in New York City, which is like probably one of the most difficult jobs in the world to be able to build and deal with regulators and all the pain in the ass and the mafia and everything else that runs much of New York and New Jersey. And Trump, I think, did become fairly successful in doing all that. Then he's like, and he's not like one of the gangsters. He wouldn't do well with the gangsters. It's like, dude, you pretend to be a gangster. You're not a gangster either, you fool. Anyway, it's not just De Niro, obviously. It's the political class and the media elite that are going all in on how to stop Trump because he is right now, it's just how it is, he is our only way out of this thing from a political perspective, right? I always talk about the spiritual perspective and there's things you can do in your life, but they do not want the political thing fixed. We have a severely brain damaged president with a completely out of control party and a media running cover for them, and they're destroying the country. We can all see it. Like, this isn't, I'm not saying anything that controversial here. They're doing it right in front of our eyes. We gotta acknowledge it so that we can change it. And we'll get to more of the people doing it in just a second. Let me talk to you guys about Preserve Gold real quick. Guys, a new central bank digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. With it could come surveillance of our lives, freezing of assets, and government control over our bank accounts and how we spend our own money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. And if you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request your free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you, and it'll help you with the process to have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're triple B accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer for the Rubin Report viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement rollover account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate $500 account credit if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave today to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first step towards helping protect your wealth. Again, that's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. Okay, so what else is going on as it pertains to Donald Trump? Because people are looking at polls. And you know me, I don't get lost in polls, and polls are just as often wrong as they are right, maybe even more so. But there is definitely a fear right now in the system that Donald Trump is coming back. Like, that seems to be the fear. Joe Biden could croak as I'm talking right now, and then he's running against Kamala Harris. God knows what the Democrats would do at their own convention to get rid of her, which would be just a beautiful poetic story that it would be the Democrats throwing the black woman, the diversity hire, under the bus to bring in Gavin Newsom. But there's just like a litany of things that could happen. But the momentum does seem to be with Trump. So now let's jump over to Congresswoman Maxine Waters. She's a racist and a complete buffoon. Also, she looks like she's melting. But here she is, and she's sounding the alarm on Donald Trump. This woman's as edgy as Robert De Niro.
Trump saying, if everything's honest, everything's above board, to his point of view, he'll gladly accept the results of the country. But if not...
Well, first of all, you can't trust anything that Donald Trump has to say. No matter if he loses, he's going to say that it was fraud. He still has not accepted what happened in the last presidential election. And so... we have to be very concerned about a former president of the United States talking about attacking his own country, talking about perhaps a bloodbath, talking about perhaps there's going to be trouble. He said it in so many different ways. We should take him seriously. Mm-hmm. This man does not believe in the Constitution. He wants to be a dictator. This is a dangerous human being. And we have to know what our country is going to do to protect us from him. Well, yes. No, well.
Lady, it was your party that impeached him twice. One time when he was already out, he was on his way out. So are you saying that you respect the results of an election? You guys spent 4 years trying to destroy his presidency, and now we're trying to hang the guy up in court cases. And with the ballots and everything else, the state ballots to get him off the ballots, and et cetera, et cetera. But if we're concerned about rhetoric, Connor, do you have the archives? You've got the archives ready? Connor, fire up the archives. Here's Maxine Waters with some of that scary rhetoric.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Guys, you could spend all day long scouring the internet. There is no video of Donald Trump ever calling for anything close to that. Create a crowd, get in their face, right? And we know they've done this. AOC has done this too. Go to restaurants, upset people. The whole point of protest is to make people not comfortable, right? Remember when Brett Kavanaugh literally had to scurry out the back of a restaurant in D.C. I think it was Morton's Steakhouse in D.C. because the mob showed up there. They show up there. They've been at Ted Cruz's house in the last couple of days. It is their side that is doing all of this stuff. Imagine, like you can. You don't have to ask me. Imagine if Donald Trump had been out there being like, show up to their houses, get in their face, don't let them go to the gas station. Like, you would be etched in your brain at the moment. But this is what the Democrats do with everything. Of course, and then they have their mainstream media people who run cover for them. One of my favorites, she's a new favorite of mine, is this Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC, because this woman has Trump derangement syndrome and she fears she's going to be in jail in just a few months. But she's still out there. You know, it's like, God bless you, lady. You're heading to jail when the orange man takes over, and you're still out there railing against him. You're like the Robert De Niro of cable news, and we love you for it. Here's a little supercut of her Trump derangement syndrome.
There is something consistently dark. He's always been dark, and he's always been self-obsessed, a villainous narcissist, but there's something more so over the clear and present danger that the disgraced, twice impeached, four times indicted ex-president poses to American democracy today, that we as a nation and as a republic are not out of danger from Trump and Trumpism just yet.
Something really bad is going to happen. Okay, it's about to hit the fan in this country. When something happens, what do you want to be able to tell your kids and grandkids you did? You good with nothing?
But if Donald Trump were president right now, the world would be a much, much more dangerous place. Trump's affinity for Hitler was always covered under an umbrella of his stupidity, right? If America can survive one Trump term, it won't survive a second. There were no problems. But what we've also said to election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves. So, you know, it's time to do something different. Like, we're not going to have this conversation again. Trump is running as an autocrat, full stop. What is your plan for making sure he's never president? I mean, let's deal with Hitler, okay?
In the cesspool that is the MAGA base.
He lies easier than he breathes. Because at this exact time next year, depending on what happens in November, 7 months from now, we can't say for certain that there would even be a White House correspondence dinner or even a free press or even a White House press corps. This time next year, I might not be sitting here.
We can only pray, lady. We can only pray that next year you won't be sitting there. But it won't be because Donald Trump came and took you and dragged you to the gulag. It'll be because the MSNBC's ratings are absolutely in the tank. If I was pulling the numbers that you people were pulling, I'd shoot myself. Connor pointed out she's got a wedding ring on. Can you imagine being related to that? Can you imagine being married to that woman? Or related to her, quite frankly. But like the hysteria, the endless hysteria. Imagine the guy comes home. He's trying to just have a dinner, maybe get a blowjob. And then it's like, lady, she's just, Trump, I can't. Donald Trump, fascism, it's happening. But they need, it's like, they just need to keep everyone on this endless dole, this little taste, these morsels of fear all the time. And just remember, guys, it's like, what do they honestly think Trump would do? All we would have to do is, as Elon pointed out, well, why don't we just look back at his presidency? And during his presidency, peace accords in the Middle East. During his presidency, we did a little something about the border. During his presidency, economy chugging along. During his presidency, lowest all-time Black and Hispanic unemployment. Like, there is evidence of what he would do. I mean, I'd be for wrangling up the MSNBC hosts and kicking them out of the country, but I'm not running for president. Anyway, here's an MSNBC panel of crazy people.
You know, Ruth, we have kind of talked about this. You posted this on X in response to the Time piece saying, quote, Trump has been conditioning Americans for years to desire authoritarian rule with him as a dictator. And unlike 2016, Trump's, you know, brazenly being autocratic in his desires. He's speaking so openly about it that it's almost ridiculous that if he is reelected and he does institute these authoritarian measures or becomes a dictator, which I believe he will, that anyone can point to this and say, we didn't know. I mean, what does his increased confidence tell us about where we are as a culture right now?
It tells us that he's been extremely successful in marketing dictatorship to people, marketing violence as something positive, by marketing people who fought in January 6th as heroes. They even have their own, you know, sacred hymn. And he's also marketed foreign dictators to us as movie stars like Xi Jinping. And this has gone on hundreds of times. And so he's conditioning Americans. He's a marketer and he's a propagandist. He has conditioned Americans to see authoritarian style leaders as superior, and also democracy as failing, democracy as anarchy, corrupt, elections as corrupt as they happen in a democracy.
I love how the host sits there like this. And, you know, if he gets elected, he'll be a dictator. Like, dude, you understand what you just said there? You don't just magically become, I'm a dictator now. We're dictating this thing. We're dictatoring it, okay? No more courts, no more Congress. That's it. I'm doing this now. I'm orange. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid. And then they'll also tell you that it's the Trump people with their secret hymns and whatever they're doing online that are creating violence everywhere. Do we have any violence of, we can find some violence? Here's a little violence. Oh, sorry, those aren't Trump supporters. Those are just general Hamas Democrat voters. Right, right, right. And that's Columbia, and we've got plenty more of that coming on the other side. Let me talk to you guys about Hillsdale College real quick. Guys, time is our most precious commodity, and I've heard from so many of my listeners who have asked for my advice about how you can spend it wisely to improve yourself and the people around you. That's why I'm incredibly excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories of the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, absolutely free. I personally recommend you sign up for American Citizenship and Its Decline with Victor Davis Hanson. And in this 8-lecture course, Dr. Hanson explores the history of citizenship in the West and the threats it faces today. Threats like the erosion of the middle class, the disappearance of our borders, the growth of an unaccountable deep state, and the rise of globalist organizations. The course is self-paced so that you can start whenever and wherever. Start your free course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, with Victor Davis Hanson today. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Dave to start. It's free and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Dave. And now, back to me. Okay, so we know that these violent...
As a plant-based cheese company, Daya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So, putting a slice of Daya cheese on a beef burger? Not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef. Because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daya Oat Cream Blend.
Protests are happening everywhere, and yes, they are violent, and they are stopping Jews from coming onto campus, in some cases stopping even Jewish professors from coming onto campus. We covered that last week. We know they're calling for genocide. The same people who are claiming that Israel is committing a genocide right now, which is an absolute lie. They are in a war, and Hamas could end it right now by releasing the hostages. They're claiming Israel is committing a genocide while they're calling for genocide, because irony is obviously dead. Part of the confusion is that they have been taught all of the wrong things by their professors and their grade school teachers and middle school teachers, high school teachers, etc. Their parents have failed them. Like, I have some empathy for the purple-haired genderqueer dingbat who's, you know, protesting for Hamas, because look what society turned them into. But then there's also the media layer, the corporate media layer that is just running cover for all of this nonsense. Here is CBS Morning, and listen to this coverage, and note the way they code language to confuse you as to what actually is going on here.
but we begin this hour with the latest on the protests on college campuses over the Israel-Hamas war. At Portland State University, police clashed with demonstrators as they cleared an occupied library, echoing scenes we've seen on some other campuses. Now, nationwide, more than 2,000 people have been arrested in recent weeks. Lilia Luciano has been covering these protests for us. She discovered some of the strife comes not from the actions, but from the language being used on campuses.
As anti-war protests have erupted on college campuses across the country, words some chant as slogans of resistance, others interpret as calls for violence. One example, the word intifada, an Arabic word commonly used to describe an uprising, which also references previous chapters of deadly clashes between Palestinians and Israelis. Fuad al-Khatib believes there is a place for protest, but that if the rhetoric deliberately or inadvertently endorses the messaging of Hamas, possible solutions will be ignored.
Zero-sum approaches that I think are incredibly detrimental.
Al-Khatib told us that the most fundamental element for bringing people together to stop the war, to stop the killing, is to be able to hold multiple truths at the same time.
Did I just see a news report on CBS News telling me that the best way to deal with this would be to deal with the multiple truths? Do you see the way they are trying to melt everybody's brain? It is absolutely insane. Also, when I talked about coded language, these are not anti-war protests. They are pro-genocide protests. An anti-war protest, you want an anti-war protest? Show me this protest and I'll be completely for it. Show me a protest, take these exact people and change their chants from river to the sea, intifada revolution, which are all genocidal chants and everyone knows it, right? It's coded language. How about Hamas? You don't have as many weapons as Israel, and you've got the hostages, and you're hiding, and it's causing destruction of the people of Gaza. How about stop Hamas? Stop Hamas. Let's get rid of Hamas. Can we get somebody who can rhyme that? Hamas, hummus, something, something. That would be anti-war. But calling for the destruction of Israel, which is what they are doing, is not anti-war. That is pro-war. But that is cable news for you. That's corporate mainstream media. That's just CBS. That's not even CNN or MSNBC or the rest of it. But everyone knows what it means. And also they tell you 2,000 people have been arrested. Yes, because they are illegally occupying things. They are breaking into student dorms. They are breaking into college buildings, et cetera, et cetera. But okay, you guys get all that and I'm fine. But now I'm gonna show you, this is seriously disturbing. This when I saw this yesterday, I thought this might be one of the most disturbing videos I have ever seen. I'm actually not being sarcastic at all. This is children in St. Louis basically calling for genocide. Children, these are little children, watch this.
The children united!
The children united!
We'll never be defeated!
We'll never be defeated! Hey, hey, ho, ho!
Zionism has got to go!
Zionism has got to go!
I mean, that is child abuse. That is child abuse. Those kids look like they're 5 years old, and you have to imagine those are liberal lefty parents. Zionism's got to go. Oh, the Jews should have no state. There should be a gajillion Arab Muslim states. Christians can have many majority states. The one little thing, it's the size of Jersey. The Jews, yeah, they shouldn't have it, right? But putting aside any of the realities around the history or anything else, that you would have little children out there screaming for that, and for these parents that again are liberal lefties, like what do you think your child's life would be like in a Hamas-run Gaza? You think it's really pro-gay? Do you think they really love that six-month abortion that you guys love? How do they feel about women's rights and everything else? It is just an absolute destruction of brains, and to do this to children is just so profoundly, profoundly evil. Here's a pro-Hamas activist taking over Northwestern University's graduation. This was pretty vile.
Everybody, can I have your attention, please? May I ask the audience for your attention, please? We respect your passion and your opinions. We respect your right to voice them in the appropriate setting. This event honors our graduates and distinguished guests and is a celebration of their achievements.
That was Northeastern graduation. I think I said Northwestern. The guy with the blood on his hands and everything, that's a throwback. I think it was in 2002. Two Israeli soldiers got lost in the West Bank. They took a wrong turn and they were ripped apart. Body part were just ripped apart by a group of Palestinians. And there's a very famous image of a guy, not a soldier or anything, just like the average guy in West Bank with blood all over his hands because the crowd screaming in joy that they had literally ripped these two people alive. So that is what that is all about there. And then you have to love these administrators. Oh, we respect your right to do this. Just not here. Could you respect us? They are here to destroy everything. It is a confluence of brain-broken leftists and genderqueer furry weirdos and jihadists and Marxists and communists. If we just respect them and if we just tell them how nice we are and we're tolerant and decent, that they'll eventually come around. And no, they are using it against you. They are using the weakness of liberalism against itself. But, you know, I always talk about how I have some small sympathy. I don't know how much longer I'll have it, but I have some small sympathy for these young people who have been failed across the board. Here is a queer for Palestine. Here's a queer for Palestine burning her master's degree in sociology because she's not happy. She wants more Hamas people to be celebrated or something.
My name is Case, and I graduated from Cal Poly Humboldt in 2022 with a master's in sociology. Protesters at Cal Poly Humboldt have taken over Siemens Hall, renamed Intifada Hall, since April 22nd to demand an end to Israel's genocide in Gaza and the university's role in the occupation of Palestine. Protesters at Cal Poly Humboldt demand that the university de-escalates by calling off police and ensuring no academic consequences for students involved, that the university disclose and divest their financial investments in the Zionist apartheid state, and that the university calls for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza and urges other CSUs to do the same. Cal Poly Humboldt administration has refused negotiations and instead continues to escalate the situation by criminalizing protesters. So today I'm burning my diploma in solidarity with the brave protesters at Cal Poly Humboldt and across the so-called U.S. who refuse to back down, and in complete solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Oh God, there's so much there. First off, the way these people speak, they have done something to their brains. I kid you not. The internet, the lack of, there is something wrong with these people, right? Oh, she's also up in Cal Poly, Humboldt County. That is the weed capital of America. That's where basically all the weed is grown. I'm pretty sure you can see the effects of that. And I'm not even against weed. Also, the Zionist apartheid state. Israel is literally the only place in the Middle East that has anything like minority rights. Go find the Jews living in Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. See how the Christians are doing in Egypt and in some of those other countries. Not too well. There's one place that is anything remotely close to progressive ideology in the truest sense of it, and that is Israel, the place they hate the most. Also, that you think that, you burned your sociology degree from Cal Poly, Humboldt County. Netanyahu's going, oh, shit. You know, it was like we were about to go into Rafah. Some genderqueer weirdo put a pot in the forest and burned that shit. Like, what are we going to do? It is unbelievable. But, you know, this queer for Palestine, you know, maybe I'm overstating some of this. Maybe they do like the gays over there in the Middle East and maybe in Gaza and Lebanon where Hezbollah is. Maybe they really do love gays. Here we have video of the head of Hezbollah talking about the gays, and well, I guess just judge for yourself.
شو بتقول دواسات؟ بتقول إنه من يتورط باللواط ما بيقدر يطلع من اللواط. علي. حتى لو فاء، حتى لو انتبه، حتى لو استغفر، حتى لو تاب، حتى لو بكي بنص الليل، بفيق على حاله، بيوعى وبيستغفر وبتوب وبصوم. والتجارب تحكي عن أشخاص، يعني أنا سمعت بأشخاص وأعرف أشخاصا خارج لبنان صار معهم هذا الشيء، وفي حاله ويصلي ليل ويبكي ويصوم والبدك إياه وخلص على الآن قلق. طيب هون بهذا النوع من الجوائم التي تدمر العائلة والمجتمع إيه عنا أحكام حاسمة بالشارع الإسلامي، لكن شوفوا الفرق، لأن هون واحد بيتوقف عند شيء. أن الزاني إذا زنى، الشاب الزاني أو الرجل أو المرأة إذا زنى، إذا لم يكن محصنا يجلد، أما إذا كان محصنا طبعا بحكم القاضي وإذا ثبت وكذا يقتل. أما في حالة اللواط فما في فرق بين عزابي ومتزوج، في حالة اللواط من المرة الأولى حتى لو كان عزابي يقتل.
For those of you that are not Arabic, that's not your native tongue, you're going to kill the gays. That's what Hezbollah is going to do with the gays. And that goes for Hamas and that goes for the rest of these guys. So, you know, I know you're fighting the Zionist oppression. You might want to think about what you're doing here, because as you usher it into America, which is what you people are doing right now, it is not going to end well for you. But why? What is it about the brain of these people that is so broken? Well, of course, it is that they have been taught all of the wrong things. Here's an interesting interview with Duke professor Frank Bruni talking about the oppressed oppressor narrative and how it has now caused a whole bunch of young people to advocate for a genocidal terrorist organization.
You teach on a college campus.
I teach at Duke University.
You're a professor at Duke University. As a college professor, what's your assessment of how this issue has become so animating with this generation of college students?
You know, a lot of college students in this generation, there's a sort of paradigm they use or a lens they use to kind of evaluate the world. And it's one in which people who have less money, people who have less power, sometimes people who are of darker skin, must inherently be being wronged. And are therefore most likely to be in the right.
So they're predisposed to take the side of what they deem the little guy based on those paradigms.
They are, and I think you saw that play out after October 7th. Listen, I mean, there's obviously a righteous case to be made for Palestinians deserving our attention, our empathy, our activism, etc. But if you looked at what happened right after October 7th, you saw a lot of young people not even take a moment to really acknowledge what had happened in Israel and how horrific that was. They just kind of immediately applied this paradigm and began advocating, not just for Palestinians, but in a perverse way at times for Hamas.
All right, so I know you guys get it, right? This oppressor-oppressed narrative, like what they have done and blown apart these kids' brains so that they automatically, so it doesn't matter, oh, they raped all these women, oh, they beheaded these people, they killed these children, they threw grenades into bomb shelters where there were families and all these things. It just doesn't matter. They're the oppressors. They're the oppressors. It's a completely absurd. Now, interestingly, he says that there's some kind of righteous case to be made for the Palestinians. I mean, there isn't, unless he means that the Palestinians should have Jordan, right? Because Jordan is a majority Palestinian nation being ruled over by the Hashemite king. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's actual apartheid. But there is no righteous case here. They have decided that their entire nationalist movement is to kill the Jews. I don't find that to be very righteous. But there is also, it's not just the oppressor-oppressed narrative. Now what we're seeing is the confluence of, you have some woke kids whose brains are broken, you have the Marxists, you have all of the people who are trying to destroy America, and now there's this weird jihad element to it. And they are literally converting these young people to Islam at some of these universities. Here's the Muslim call for prayer over at Columbia University. I have a feeling the Queers for Palestine people are not going to be happy with this long term. Imagine if a bunch of, say, white frat kids that had MAGA hats were chanting religious, in English even, religious Christian hymns and songs, we would be told, and doing it completely peacefully, by the way, which these people aren't doing, we would be being told that America is being taken over, right? That we know exactly that the Nazis are here and everything else. It's absolutely crazy. But there is this weird thing right now where the left is trying to, or whatever this confluence of the Marxists and the jihad, whatever it is, and it's corporate control too. We'll show you this in just a second. They are trying to somehow frame that Islam is conducive with leftist ideology, which is for women's equality and for equality of gays and other minorities and everything else. And it's simply not true. Check out this Google Pixel ad. And, well, just watch the ad.
Brought to you by Google Pixel.
Yo, she's tough.
The intensity of the NBA playoffs have inspired me to get on the court to amp up my game. And just like my play on the court, I have to amp up my pictures too.
Come look at this.
Oh, wow.
I know how to edit it. Let me show you guys.
Okay.
Thanks to Pixel's magic editor, I can spice up my photos by enhancing it with the sky feature.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
All right, first off, that girl's got great handles. She's got a sweet crossover. I'm all for that. I'm also for anyone practicing whatever religion they want for themselves. The reason I'm showing you that video is that they are mainstreaming this strange thing related to Islam. At the same time, they're always telling us that progressive ideology is good. But how do you think that girl and those girls will vote when it comes to women's rights and abortion and gays' rights and minority rights and all of those things? Beyond whether they would be pro-genocide or River to the Sea or anything else. So there is a very weird thing happening right now, and we're seeing some of the breadcrumbs about it, and we should pay attention here in the United States, because across the pond, in the UK particularly, they are having major problems as it pertains to Islamists now winning elections. Well, here's some video, because they had elections just a couple days ago.
I'm going to tell you something here. This is a clear message to Starmer. Bradford has rejected Labour. It's rejected Zionism. And this is a message to you, Nash Shah and Imran Hussein. We are coming for you in the general election. Zionism, anyone that stands with Zionism, we're coming after you. Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
I see how that'll help the UK flourish. It seems like good old-fashioned British values. It's like an episode of Downton Abbey over there. The guy who was screaming before that guy is the new council member in Leeds. They hate Zionism, obviously. By the way, they're not that thrilled with the UK, and that'll become more and more obvious as time goes by. They're there to turn the UK into a Sharia country. And I suppose the British people will have to deal with that. Nigel Farage, who of course was the leader of Brexit, because he was warning about what was going on with demographics, he was warning what was going on with borders and everything else a long time ago. He had this to say after that video that we just showed you right there. He wrote, "There have been no democratic elections in Gaza for nearly 20 years, yet Gaza is being voted on in English towns and cities. What a mess we have allowed ourselves to become." And how about just a bit more from that new city council member from the town of Leeds? And he's got, this is the Queen's English, I'm pretty sure.
Palestine will be free!
3 years ago, we started this campaign. I started alone, and Allah sent his angels to come and assist me. So, for the community of Harehills and Gipton, who are fed up of being let down by the Labour Council, who have been fed up of being taken for granted. Who have been fed up of being taken for granted. Who have been fed up of being neglected by this rotten council. Who have been fed up.
Look at the language you're using. Back off. Fuck, don't you think this is a win for the people of Hamilton Gibson? This is a win for the people of Gaza.
We will not be silent. We will raise the voice of Gaza. We will raise the voice of Palestine. Allahu Akbar!
At the very least, could you just put up a British flag behind you as you're calling for jihad and Allahu Akbar and the rest of it? Like, again, there is nothing inherently wrong with a Muslim person being in any level of politics in any country in the world. That would be my belief. But the question really is, do you think that that guy and the other guy who is screaming, threatening people and everything else, what is it that they are going to usher in the UK? I think we have a lot of evidence of what they're going to usher in. Lawrence Fox, he's an actor. He's been on the show, actually. About a year ago. He's an actor. He's run for some offices in the UK. He tweeted this out. I think it is just worth noting. The mayor of London is a Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham is a Muslim. The mayor of Leeds is a Muslim. Mayor of Blackburn, Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield is a Muslim. The mayor of Oxford is a Muslim. The mayor of Luton is a Muslim. The mayor of Oldham is a Muslim. The mayor of Rochdale is a Muslim. All of this was achieved by only 4 million Muslims out of 66 million people in England. Today, there are over 3,000 mosques in England. There are over 130 Sharia courts. There are more than 50 Sharia councils. 78% of Muslim women do not work, receive state support and free accommodation. 63% of Muslims do not work, receive state support and free housing. State-supported Muslim families with an average of 6 to 8 children receive free accommodation. Now every school in the UK is required to teach lessons about Islam. Has anyone ever been given an opportunity to vote for this? So again, I just want to be very, very clear on this. It is not inherently bad to have a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew in office in any country or anything else. The question is, do these people, the people that are in power now, do their values align with what else would be purported as liberal values? And I think the answer to that is obviously no. So then the question is, so what is this weird leftist jihadist alliance all about? Here's a video from 2016. This is Jordan Peterson, before he was the Jordan Peterson we all know now, giving a lecture, talking about why are the feminists so quiet about women's rights when, say, it comes to Saudi Arabia and radical Islam?
Why don't the feminists complain about Saudi Arabia? It's like, you know, God Saad, who's this guy at Concordia who is in a business school so he can actually say what he thinks now and then, he tweeted yesterday, well, he tweeted to the Women's March, you know, because there's a little Twitter thing, you could do that, I suppose, for the organizers, and he said, why don't you go to the Middle East and have a nice march against Saudi Arabia and see how that works out for you? It's like, so you think, well, so why not? Like, why not? Why are the radical leftists who are so much for rights everywhere, that's what they say, why aren't they complaining about Saudi Arabia, for example, which, you know, breeds a particularly pathological form of ideologically rigid Islam that basically enslaves their women, that's to put it properly. It's like, why not complain about that? Well, how about this? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so when push comes to shove, you see how much concern there is among the radical feminists for the rights of women. It's like if the pushing those rights forward doesn't also at the same time undermine the Western patriarchy, then we'll take the undermining and leave the damn rights behind. And so there's an insight for you about exactly what's going on at the bottom of all this.
I have to say, it's great watching that video because he's even referencing Gad Saad. I mean, there have been people warning about this for a long, long time. You know, as it pertains to the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So what is this alliance all about? You have these leftist progressives who hate America. That's well illustrated. They think the founding of America was bad. They think the driving force behind the very founding was slavery. They tell you that capitalism is bad. I'm talking about AOC. I'm talking about all of the progressives that are in Congress and that are your cousins and everything else. They fundamentally hate America. And then the jihadists fundamentally hate America too, right? Big Satan, that's America. They're just using Israel as the cudgel right now. So that is the alliance. These people have nothing to do with each other, right? The gender queer furry weirdo and the jihadist, generally, they both like to dress up, but beyond that, they don't have that much to do with each other, but they're kind of aligned. They're creating an alliance right now so that they can go after the real enemy, which is America. So then what do we do? What do we do in the face of this thing that we are now all starting to see that is causing someone like Jerry Seinfeld to be like, ah, well, I'm not going to say I'm voting for Trump, but he's probably not that bad. Well, we can either roll with the jihad that is being spread across this country, the progressive jihad, or we can be proud, America first, America loving, decent people. We can be the way we used to be if we could just remember. But what we can't do is just acquiesce to these people. So check this out. This is from University of Chicago. They are just rolling over on these people. They have decided, this is a tweet from Richard Goldberg, Hamas encampment at University of Chicago claims university just gave concession as a precondition of negotiation. I mean, they behave like Hamas. 8 Palestinian scholars to work and study at University of Chicago. So the protesters violently take over the campus. They stop people from coming into buildings. They create tent cities and everything else. And then they say, we will not move unless you negotiate with us. I mean, these are Hamas tactics, right? And then the university, to begin the negotiations, will bring in more Palestinian professors. How do you think that's going to go? And by the way, University of Chicago, which has been largely good on free speech over the last couple of years, it's been one of the universities that hasn't completely collapsed under all of this PC lunacy. And now they're going for it too. So you're giving them an inch and watch them take a mile. So how should we respond? I think you could probably be loud. You could be proud. You could be America first. You could be for our culture. You could be for women. You could be for minorities and the rest of it. And guess what? There are some kids at the University of Chicago that are just like that. Here's a great group of young fellas pushing, well, basically telling the Hamas freaks to take off their masks.
Show your face! You see my face? Show me your face! Show me your face! Take it off! I know you! Show your face!
You've got the masked jihadists, and then, you know what's great about that? Because not only is it just great to see American flags, but I guarantee you, if you took that whole group of kids, young people, whatever you want to call them, that are out there with the American flags chanting, and they're not wearing masks, and they're not calling to kill anybody, and they're not stopping anybody from doing anything, that if you were to sit down with all of them and ask them what their politics are all over the place, which, by the way, is much like what Donald Trump has done, right? Donald Trump, who by no means is a traditional conservative, right? But now he's the leader of the America First movement in the United States. So there can be a wide swath of people. The thing that unites us is the flag. It is America, right? That's the point. And what happens when this bravery spreads? Well, suddenly Bill Maher, who has had massive Trump derangement syndrome, is kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to lose it if Trump becomes president, because what he really knows, maybe he hasn't fully formulated yet, but what he knows is he'll be okay if Trump is president. He may not be okay if the Democrats remain in power, right? Because they will usher in more of this jihadist lunacy, and the progressives will take out all the liberals and everything else. And Jerry Seinfeld, well, I'm also not going to go crazy. Been a lefty his whole life. It's fairly obvious. Now he's coming around. So bravery breeds bravery. So let's go back to that Bill Maher thing again.
I'm not going to lose my nervous system about Trump again. If he ends the world, he's going to end the world. I'm not going to f-ing go nuts again if he wins another term. I just can't.
I hope you have that wherewithal.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to stay right there.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay
what, are you
right
going to get anxious like a millennial? No.
Yeah, it's still, right. Exactly. Know. That. Is,
I mean, that generation, especially the Z generation.
Ugh.
What do you?
So you get it? You get it? What does Bill Maher want to do? He wants to smoke pot. He wants to do his show, talk about free speech, liberal values. Which world will he be able to do that in? In Donald Trump's world? You think Donald Trump is going to get elected president and then arrest Bill Maher? No. He'll be counterculture again if Donald Trump's president. Jerry Seinfeld wants to be able to do stand-up and not worry that a mob is going to come destroy him, right? He'll be able to do that in the Donald Trump world. So the progressives may not get there, but again, the good libs might, and we got to just keep moving them. And speaking of good libs, my full interview with Tulsi Gabbard is up right now. Full thing's up absolutely free at locals.com. We have updated our merch store, daverubin.store, if you want to get some merch. We've got some interesting announcements coming very soon, and we've got a post-game show in about 30 seconds, rubinreport.locals.com. Ciao. Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.